Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Yes, they are. Mr. Oster off of a big appearance yesterday at the Beaver County Times Home and Garden Show at the Community College of Beaver County. Today, where Andy was yesterday, he'll be at the North Hills Home Show at the Wildwood Sports Complex, Allison Park, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is the time, and it is an absolutely free event. So get out and enjoy yourself. Jessica is here as well. We want to hear from you at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Text us on the Right Automotive Line. Best deal in town. Spring here. Lots of ideas, lots of plans. So we need you to get on the phones and get ready to give them a call. Also, a place that Doug has been spending a little time at of late, Janoski's. We've got a gift certificate from them within the half hour. But right now we begin. Randy Sorgel and the great folks at Sorgel's in Wexford. 10th caller wins a gift certificate at 922-1020, 412-922-1020. So here they are. Ladies and gentlemen, he, of course, from EverybodyGardens.com, both from the Tribune Review. It's Doug Oster and it's Jessica Walliser.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
So I was at the Beaver County Home Show yesterday, and on my way home, I stopped by Janoski's because I was actually there earlier in the week doing a video about how to start seeds. And it's so funny. We've been starting seeds for a long time, but when you sit with somebody like Steve Janoski, who's does this every day, I mean, a million seeds, seriously, a million seeds, you learn something, and I learned a lot.
Yeah, you think like growing seeds, you're like, yeah. Well, you plant them and you got it, like it, right? But so, it is so nuanced, isn't
there
it?
There to make the video, but I couldn't leave with all the good stuff I like to take because I was going somewhere else and then going to be out all night another gig, so I couldn't have the produce. So I snuck in there after my beaver appearance to try and get in, get my stuff and get out, but I got caught. And because Patty's always like, oh no, that's this percent off, that's, I'm saying, Patty, stop it, I came in here to pay my due, you know. I got all sorts of cool stuff there. Made spaghetti sauce yesterday with a bunch of tomatoes from there.
And nice.
When Steve was showing me around the farm, he showed me these new things he's doing. And in like plastic trays, you would know it as a bulb crate. But, you know, how big are those? A couple feet by a foot filled with soil. Radishes and these little Parisian carrots. They're like a little round carrot that is super sweet. And he gave me a couple. And so they had them in the market. So I bought a couple bunches.
So they're growing
of
them in the greenhouse in those plastic crates.
And has spinach already coming out of there. And all sorts of stuff, so it's fun to get some fresh produce.
That's actually really a clever way to grow those baby carrots like that and radish like that. So
they're stacked. Yeah, you had
eight inch deep plastic crate, like they would use to carry bread or something like that.
Right,
and then you had it lined with something.
I think, and then filled with soil, and then there's just filled.
Because right you can plant real densely like that.
With these little carrots and radishes and. On the side was all the spinach and not lettuce.
We just gave his secret away.
Oh, I don't think it's a big secret. He let me take pictures and put it online.
Okay, so got you. It good. It's not that secret.
So that was fun. Forsythia blooming.
Yes, and so there's your sign.
Right, that is a sign for organic weed control. Why don't we talk about that when we get back from the first break. But corn gluten meal, we got a lot to talk about that. But that's a great organic weed control. And then I did something that you didn't get a chance to do yesterday.
Garden.
No, sit in the garden.
Oh, sit in the garden. Yeah, I didn't do either yesterday.
Because I was looking at these happy accidents. I put these crocuses in. Oh, man. It's just so nice to see crocuses. And they're beautiful purple. And one daffodil was sprouted up in between them. So you had this beautiful yellow daffodil with all these purple crocuses. Again, happy accident. And then the Japanese pieris was in full bloom, and when the wind would blow, just that gentle fragrance that they have.
They're so lovely. Oh. Yeah, they're so lovely. Only thing blooming in my garden right now are my hellebore. I have some pink hellebore that are in full, beautiful bloom. Oh,
you know, I got to look at my hellebores, but I also thought of you because the pushkinias came up. Last year I had pushkinias for the first year. I didn't know what they were, and I had to show Jessica a picture. And oh, man, I love that plant.
They're really cool, aren't they?
From a little bulb, and it's just like a little white, creamy white flower with blue stripes. And oh, man, I was taking pictures of them yesterday. It was fun. I've got these daffodils in the front of the house that always come up too early. They should be okay today, but like last year, they came up, bloomed, and then it got really cold, and they were just laying down on the sidewalk. Mm. But resurrected when it got warmer, and they just looked so good yesterday. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see all the color. No daffodils for you yet, huh?
No, none yet. But I tell you what, I was watching. So a good friend of ours is a garden writer. Her name is Marianne Wilburn, and she has a blog called The Small Town Gardener, and she's in Virginia, and she posted a video yesterday that reminded me of you, and I thought, oh, you would be so proud of Marianne, because she was using her planting auger, like the bulb planting auger that you use for planting all your bulbs so quickly in the fall, and she was using it, and she was tucking in little potted containers of bulbs in her garden because she wanted a splash of color. So she was using the auger, a short little hand one, you know, not the big long tall one, and using it to make the holes and then sinking these little pots of the tete-a-tete daffodils and little Muscari pots in her garden. I was like, that's a very clever use.
What's a tete-a-tete?
It's just a little tiny miniature daffodil.
Okay.
I guess that's I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a French expression where like head-to-head or like a two-person conversation or something, I think it means.
I was at Phipps, and I thought that's what I was looking at. How do you pronounce it? I say tete-a-tete.
I thought it was tete-a-tete, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
No, tete-a-tete sounds good.
I don't know French.
They were a little one called Lucifer, and then I've got some little ones.
Oh, the mini daffodils are adorable.
Yeah, I don't even know what the variety is.
I like the one called Minnow is just, oh my goodness, it's so cute.
Did you see the new greenhouse at Janoski's?
I did. What did you think of that? I actually posted a picture of it. Yeah, nice. Very cool, very cool. And you know what? They got something in the back there that cheapskates like me would really want.
What is it?
They got last year's seeds all on sale back in that little greenhouse.
It connected to the farm market expansion.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you would like it.
I got all sorts of stuff there.
Wouldn't you like to have that at your house?
That greenhouse?
Yeah, man.
Mine's bigger.
Is it?
No, it's not as nice.
Is it that big?
No, he's pulling your leg.
Green acres.
His greenhouse isn't even as big as the studio. So, what, half of the size of the studio?
I could live in that. It's beautiful.
12 by 12.
Yeah.
What's the story about people who live in glass houses?
Yeah, don't live under trees.
Yeah, right. All right, listen, now we're going to take a break. Congratulations to Mary from Beaver, winner of that gift certificate. Sorghum's getting ramped up too, I'm sure.
Oh, right? Indeed they are. I was just there the other day too, myself. So, yes.
No pie. You could have brought me a pie.
Lots of green. That would be bad by now. I think I was there on Monday or Tuesday. Well, I could have put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Doug and Jess would love to talk to you. Next hour, it's slow cooker recipes. Get out that crock pot. We're going to be talking to Joan Franklin and TC on the Coons Cooking Hour. Stay with us.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, Doug and Jess are back, and it's time to go to the phone. The first stop's going to be North Hills with Kay on the air with Doug and Jess, the Organic Gardeners, KDKA Radio. Hey, Kay.
Good morning. I had a question last week that I forgot to ask. I have chipmunks, and they have eaten everything available, I think. I went online, and it says if you spray cayenne pepper and chili powder in a water mix, that or eucalyptus or peppermint oil to deter them. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I've heard of all kinds of things like that, but in my experience, they're kind of a waste of money and time. The thing with chipmunks is you get rid of them, and if it's a welcoming area for them, there's just going to be a new batch that moves in. That's the challenge with them.
It's funny, Kay, because we could see your question before you came on, and we spent about 5 minutes sitting here talking chipmunks and how, you know, we don't have the heart to kill a chipmunk. We just don't. We just don't have it in us. And Jessica has these rock walls. I have rock walls all through my property, and that environment.
Yeah.
But there are some predators out there that
Yeah, like, and I was talking off the air that we have one section of our garden that there's a black snake that lives there in the one drain pipe that we have. And so that area has no chipmunks whatsoever because obviously the black snake is a predator of them. So, but what you could try, if you're going to try a repellent like that, rather than mixing your own homemade concoction, I would rather see you use a commercial animal repellent like Repelzol or Plant Skid, or there's some other granular, like get buy a granular formulation of it and sprinkle it in the area where you see them. You know, they'll probably just move to a new part of the garden depending on how large your garden is. You could also, I don't know about the legitimacy of like live trapping them, but I've done that in the past myself.
I always say you get two out. To move in.
Right.
Will it harm any of the other organic, like the worms or the other bugs?
No, not the granular repellents are usually based on things like blood meal and egg solids and stuff like that. So I wouldn't worry too much about those in terms
of
animal.
Did you say egg salad?
Egg solids.
Oh, okay.
Putrid egg solids, which is
all right. Make up your egg salad. We need to get rid of the chipmunks.
And the other thing to always do is plant resistant plants. So if you're going to plant bulbs there, don't plant crocus because they love crocus.
Yeah,
instead, plant daffodils.
If I try the cayenne pepper or any of those things, is that going to harm any of the other things?
No. But I mean, I would be incredibly surprised if it actually works. Yeah.
And I'm with Jess to always go with something that commercially made that's been tested that we know is safe and they work pretty well. Okay, thanks so much for your call. Always great to talk to you. Jess, I want to get back to organic weed control. You know, we see the forsythia bloom and we know, it's time to put the corn gluten meal on, but explain what corn gluten meal is and how it works and what a great weed control it is that's safe for us and the environment.
Yeah, so corn gluten meal is a byproduct of the corn milling process, and it happens to have a quality about it that prevents seeds from germinating. So as the seed actually begins to germinate, it kills the initial root that emerges from that seed. And so when you use it as a preventative. So it's sort of like an organic version of the weed and feed because it also has a high nitrogen content in it as well. So it also feeds your lawn. So we do not ever recommend using a chemical-based weed and feed of them are. There are some pretty seriously dangerous chemicals in there. And so we want to avoid those. And so corn gluten meal is a good option for that. And in fact, the more years that you use it, and you always apply it in the spring when the forsythia are blooming, the more years in a row that you use it, the higher its efficiency rate is at preventing weeds from germinating. Now, it's not going to get rid of your existing dandelions or other weeds in your lawn, but it does help prevent new weeds from sprouting. So like it's a great crabgrass control. It's a great purslane control. Any new like bittercress or anything like that that's coming up in your lawn on a regular basis and you get that down, it will prevent new ones from germinating.
And if you really want to see a great organic lawn, just drive by Phipps. You know, completely organic and beautiful and green.
All right, Frank Coriopoulos up next for Doug and Jess.
Yes, good morning. I just heard that a lady's trying to get rid of chipmunks, and you said the eucalyptus oil and all that doesn't work. Just trying to pass along something that does work for me. I have a little cage, and what it is, there's like a little swivel in the middle. It's like a little platform, and it's there's like a trip switch. It's very simple to do, very simple and very easy to work with, and I'll put like maybe one or two little Ritz crackers with peanut butter on it. And when he goes to grab the cracker, it tilts the platform and closes the cage. Then I just take him and take him out to the park or somewhere and let him, because I'm not going to kill him. There's no way I'm going to kill him. I don't, even if they cause damage, I'm not going to kill him.
Wait, did I see you letting those go right at the bottom of my driveway?
Oh, you caught me. That's why I didn't want to call. I knew you'd.
Because
this way it's a humane way. They're not hurt at all. They're a little scared while they're in the cage, but I get in the car and I take them to the park. I let them go, and they just bounce along their merry way. And no chemicals, no nothing.
Yeah.
And I know the one summer alone, I caught five of them.
Yeah, that's...
Five. I was going to say, after 1,000, what do you do? You
know? Right.
Well, I don't have that many. But, I mean, it works for me very well. And, again, there's no chemicals, nothing.
The issue that we face when recommending live trapping like that is that as people in the public eye, right, we have to be very careful about what we recommend, because like the Pennsylvania Game Commission, it's technically illegal to catch and release a nuisance animal like that, simply because of spreading pathogens from one area to the other. Yeah. So we have to be careful. Now, what you choose to do, if it works for you, that's great, but it's something that we have to be careful about
recommending. Then you also have to consider what the Humane Society is telling us, that you know, you're splitting up a family and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
you got to think about that. For me, for chipmunks, I just live with them, you know.
Yeah.
I hate when they get into when they think a tomato is a berry or something.
And they take up one bite and
that's a killer.
Yeah, I hear you. I completely, they drive me a little bonkers too.
All right, let's keep it here. We only have a minute to the break.
Well, come see me today. I'm going to be at the North Hills Home Show. That's at the Wildwood Sports Complex near North Park. I'm giving away a subscription to my Seed of the Month Club, and I'm going to be talking all about getting a jump start in the garden and gardening organically. This is the first year for this show, so come out and see me. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's absolutely free.
We'll be back.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's, Route 30 in Clinton, 412-922-1020.
Well, we wanted to welcome Plumline back to the show. It's awesome to hear their ad. Their ad played earlier in the show today, and go way back with them. Great nursery. It was funny. I saw Micah, who runs the show there at the home show, and there was, you know me, I can never remember names and stuff. I'm getting old. And he had a tree that we talked about like 3 years ago, and I said, yeah, it starts with this letter. And he's like, you know, just like you and I would be, like if someone calls and says, we have a plant and it's green. That's me.
Right.
And so I was talking, and like in my next talk, just before I started, he walked by and he yelled the name of it because he just remembered it. So that's an awesome nursery.
Then he remembered from 3 years ago a tree that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my
one
gosh.
I said, you remember the one? It's one where you really love it, but you didn't sell a lot of them. And you know, it's just completely obscure.
Yeah. And he remembered
from 3 years ago.
Wow.
And he remembered it and yelled it across.
And Plumline, they're out in the east, right? Marysville. Out in east of the city. So if you live anywhere, then the Pittsburgh region is worth a trip. Of amazing trees and shrub collection there.
Yeah, perennials
are incredible.
Got everything. Yeah. It's really, and a wonderful family. You know, I've got to know the family over the years. I posted a story I wrote about them on my Facebook that you can take a look at. All right, let's talk some more gardening here.
All right, Tree, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Tree.
Did you say Tree?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I planted some impatiens and begonias, and the other were okay, but the impatiens lasted from about the middle of May, or a little later than that, until August, and then they just died all of a sudden. So I must have had blight or some such thing, and I bought them from a place that claimed that the they were treated so there would be no blight. Now, do I have to do something with the soil? Do I have to get rid of my soil?
No. So here's the deal with impatiens. So there is a pathogen that's pretty new to our area. It's called impatiens downy mildew, and it's really wreaking havoc on the traditional impatiens, impatiens walderiana, which is like sort of the standard impatiens that everybody grows. And that particular species is really susceptible to impatiens downy mildew.
I lost mine in September.
Yeah. I mean, the plants look beautiful most of the season, then all of a sudden all the leaves drop off, they're bare sticks, and it's just terrible. So there really is nothing that you can do or should do to your soil. Replacing the soil is not going to matter, because this is a pathogen that's born on the wind. So the spores blow on the wind from one plant to another. They can travel for miles. So rather than planting traditional impatiens in that planting bed, I would suggest for everybody across the region anymore to plant resistant impatiens, or choose a different plant, because the only plant that gets impatient downy mildew is impatiens walleriana. So you want to do things like the sunpatiens. Sunpatiens are bred to be resistant to impatiens downy mildew. You could also do like begonias, caladiums, broalia, fuchsias.
There's a variety of impatiens called bounce. New Guinea impatient. But the interesting thing about the pathogen is, I talked to the scientist from Ball, and I didn't know this, that it can be either soil-borne or airborne, and their data shows that, like you said, it's the airborne spores which are the big problem for us. And they start down south, work their way up here, and by the time they get up here, now I'm still planting regular impatiens and just, okay, I'm going to lose them.
You're hedging your bets.
I'm going to lose them in September. And hopefully if we don't have such a wet year, you know, that's part of it too, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The funny thing, you know, the disease has been around for a long time, but why it becomes virulent is...
Personally, here's my little philosophy on that, right? So this is typically a pathogen that doesn't survive the winter in most cases, right? Mm-hmm. But now, so everybody used to always grow their plants in their nurseries, right? Well, now a lot of people are getting plants from big box stores. Well, the big box stores, they grow their plants. A lot of times they come from southern regions, right? So they're importing the plants from a region where something like impatiens downy mildew is much more prevalent. And they're bringing them up here. So it introduces that pathogen earlier in the season because the plants are actually coming here possibly infected. So this for me is just another reason why when you go out shopping for plants, you go to a local nursery where they grow in their plants, you know, regionally, locally, even at their garden center, because then these pathogens that are typically, you know, more southern. And this is not true of all pathogens, but that is really important. And there's some different blights on our tomatoes and vegetable gardens that can really affect as well. So it just goes back to that, buy local.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
All right, let's take another call before the break. Let's go to Ed in McDonald. Hey, Ed.
Morning. I grow peas for years. And last year, I got them from Agway. Last year, I got these tender sweet from another seed company. I planted a 100-foot row and about 15 come up. I'd like to know, I watched Doug on PTO this week. He said wet them, but I'm rather going to run them through a walk behind cedar.
Okay, so you can't wet them if you're going to do them through a cedar like that.
That, and yeah. The other thing is about this all stuff that they put on them.
The inoculant?
Igniter or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's called inoculant. And yeah, so pea and bean inoculant is what it is. And you should always use it when you plant bean and pea seeds. Ideally, you should use it.
I never remember to do it.
So you're using a lot of compost in your garden. So you probably have a lot of beneficial microbes already there. But what that pea inoculant does is it's adding the species of soil bacteria that literally inoculates the roots of members of the pea and bean family. And it forms these nodules on the roots of those plants that enable the plant to take nitrogen from the air and fix it or change it and convert it into a form that the plants can use for growth. And this is like a really unique trait in the pea and bean family. If that soil bacteria does not naturally exist in your soil, the peas and beans will not grow. So they might germinate and they're going to look really pitiful when they're young and they might die. They might grow but be kind of puny. The pea and bean inoculant is always a very good idea. So, but in a soil like Doug's where he's constantly adding compost.
I mean, it's planted in pure compost.
Yeah. I mean, you've grown peas and beans there before. So you probably already have that species of bacteria, good bacteria in your soil. But anybody out there, I mean, especially if you have used a chemical fertilizer on your lawn, on your garden, in the past, you're going to want to use pea inoculant and bean inoculant when you plant those plants because, unfortunately, those chemical salt-based fertilizers can kill those good bacteria that inoculate the roots of the plants.
And so the only reason... Go ahead.
Are you supposed to keep it wet when you put wet the peas and run that through it or what?
There's a couple different ways you can do it. You can wet the seeds and then put them in a bag, put the inoculant in a plastic bag, wet the seeds, and then put the seeds in the plastic bag and shake it up so that the inoculant sticks to the outsides of the seeds. But if you're going to use a seed row machine, like a seed planter machine like you are, what I would do is I would run the seed dropper machine down the row and then I would take the inoculant and sprinkle it down the length of the row so that it's actually in contact with that pea seed, but you're not having to coat each individual seed. Like, it's hard when you're using a machine like that, and mechanically so. Then you have to spray. They also have liquid formulations of it, too, that you could spray down that row.
All right, real quick. Do you leave your bird feeders up all year? That's a question right out of motive text message. Either one of you.
Yeah, definitely. I do. I think it's important to feed the birds. They'll get what they want when the season is right. We want them to feed on insects because that's what the babies want, but a little extra support in the bird feeders won't hurt.
All right, real quick, Dollar Bank Instant Access, flowers that deers won't eat, either annuals or perennials. That's a question from Kathy.
Oh, I got a list. You're laughing.
But it is not a guaranteed list. Everything that we will talk about, yes, in the most part, they won't eat it, but they might.
Right.
I always tell the story. Mountain laurel is poisonous to them, but the young ones will eat the buds and go sleep it off and won't eat again, but they've already got the buds. All right, bang them out. Let's go quick.
Okay, so here's what's in my front garden. Nepeta, which is catmint.
Perennial hibiscus.
Okay, we're alternating, I see. German bearded iris.
Perennial sage or salvia.
Heliopsis.
Irises.
Shasta daisies.
Grasses.
Oh, that's what I was going to say next. Phlox subulata. That's the creeping phlox that stays real close to the ground. Don't even try the big, tall phlox. Just the low phlox.
Anemone.
Oh, that's
windflower.
Oh, Monarda, which is bee balm.
I'm picturing my garden. When that picture fades, I'm going to be out of names.
All right. We're gonna take a short break. Come back. Lots more with Doug and Jess. Stay with us. KDK Radio.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, your phone calls are welcome at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Text us on the Red Automotive line, the best deal in town. Doug?
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. She's our grower, horticulturist, and our own garden goddess. Denise, what's blooming in your garden?
Bittercress.
Oh, you know what? You're right. The bittercress calls have started coming.
Yeah, I filled bags yesterday of it, and I still haven't even made it.
Explain what it looks like, please.
So it's a small rosette-type flower, leaves, and then it has this teensy little white flower. Sometimes it'll have more than one, and as soon as you look at it, it pretty much shoots out hundreds of seeds. And it blooms pretty much year-round, except maybe in July when it's too hot for it. But I've found it blooming underneath snow.
Ugh. Yeah, so do you have it in your lawn, in your flower beds, both? I mean,
I have it mostly in my lawn.
Yeah.
I do have some in... both of you have been here, so you know I live on a hill. So when the wind blows, it blows it from the grass into my flower beds as well. So I'm battling it there.
So your number one way to control it is?
No, I've been hand-picking it. Yep. And don't tell me to eat it, Doug, because if you want to eat it...
I wasn't even
going to
go there. Mrs. Know-It-All, I knew better. I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to say it until you hung up.
But I did want to comment on the lady who called about the impatience with the downy mildew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure you were there. Anyhow, actually, the fungus does stay in the soil for 3 to 5 years, which is unfortunate for us. But the good news is a couple of the breeders have actually come up with an impatiens walleriana that is highly resistant to the point of almost immune to it. One is called Beacon, and that should be on the market this year. I'm not sure where they're going to be selling it or how broad, the area is going to be that they're going to be selling it. And there's another one called Ixara, I-X-A-R-A, and that will be out next year. So there's hope because I had it at the park, and it just devastated everything.
It's so sad, but it's so exciting when breeders are able to breed resistance into what is a favorite plant for so many gardeners. So that is good to know that there's some options, more options coming out on the market that is that same species of impatiens and offers that same look. Because the sun patients are great. New Guinea impatiens are great. They're resistant.
They're not the same.
Exactly. They don't look quite the same. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Beacon.
Thank you.
And okay, good.
Thank
Excellent.
You, Mrs. Know-It-All. And you know what? Speaking of something in the future, they have a boxwood coming out that's blight resistant, but that's not till 2020.
Okay, but also exciting
yes,
because
yes.
The blight knockwood hasn't struck quite too much around here yet, but I know boxwood blight is going to be, you know, that when that arrives, it's going to wipe out an awful lot of landscapes.
Yep. So come out and see me today, 2 o'clock, North Hills Home Show. That's out at the Wildwood Sports Complex near North Park. I'll be talking about organic gardening, getting a jump on the season, and giving away one subscription to my Seed of the Month Club. And then next Saturday, I will be at the Millvale Library 1 p.m. for another free event. Come on out and see it. Come out and support Millvale. I love Millvale. My neighbors in Millvale always like to come there and talk gardening. We have a lot of fun.
Isn't that where the Garlic King lives as
That's the Garlic King of Millvale.
Excellent.
That's where we get our garlic from, and that's where I get you some garlic. And some of my other friends, he grows it out in a farm out east somewhere, Ligonier or Latrobe or someplace like that.
I'm still eating my garlic. We have a ton of garlic left.
I was going to say that I just ran out, and that's what I got. I was at Janoski's, and I started picking out the good garlic, and I looked over, bargain, what is this, bargain center? So I got it
bargain
cheap.
Bargain garlic.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
You know, I actually was just starting to smell garlic. In
it's
the room,
him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that
it's
sauce
him.
I made from Janoski's. Oh man, I dosed it good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.